RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, Headline News, and News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. State-owned enterprises. Minister Rini Sumarno ensures government stake unchanged after small-owned state-owned enterprises rights offering. Indonesian Foreign Ministry launches book Maritime Access Diplomacy. France improves visa process to increase foreign tourists. Now the news in detail. State-owned enterprises, SOEs Minister Rini Sumarno pledges that the government will remain as the majority stakeholder in publicly listed state-owned enterprises, even the enterprises hold rights offerings. Rini reported Gerindra Chairman Prabowo Subianto's statement that the government is selling four state-owned enterprises who are planning to hold rights issues to individuals. According to Minister Rini, state equality participation and rights offerings are part of the government's plan to maintain their controlling ownership over the four state-owned enterprises while ensuring they have enough funding to implement corporate plans. Adikarya is planning to offer rights after the government decided to inject the company with a 1.4 trillion rupiah equity participation. Corporate Secretary Ki Shah Golang Permata said the government's 51% stake will not be diluted after the rights issue. As of December 2014, the government owned 918 million units of ADI shares. Meanwhile, Jasa Marga Corporate Secretary David Wijayatno said the company will hold a rights issue next year to raise capitals. He asserted the Corporate Act will not dilute the government's shares in JSMR. Indonesia should emphasize its national identity as a maritime nation and make it the world's maritime axis. It was said by Secretary General of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Johannes Kristiarto Suryolegowo, while reading the speech of the Minister of Foreign Affairs in the seminar and launching the book entitled Maritime Axis Diplomacy, Marine Economy in Perspective of Foreign Policy in Jakarta on Monday. Johannes reminded that one of the priorities of the President Joko Widodo's government is to make Indonesia the world's maritime axis.
Seperti yang tertuang dalam visi dan misi Presiden.
As stated in the vision and mission of the President, one of the implementation of the teaching of the Trisakti is to build Indonesia's foreign policy with a commitment of to promote identity as the archipelagic and maritime country. Indonesia needs to emphasize its identity as a maritime nation by putting maritime sector as a central life of the nation in developing their potential. Marine economic development is one of the main priorities of government in order to realize the ideals of making Indonesia the world's maritime axis. Therefore, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, as the diplomacy leader in the international relations, will take advantage of networking in bilateral, regional, and multilateral relations to support the realization of the Indonesian vision as the world's maritime axis. The seminar and the launch of book entitled Maritime Axis Diplomacy was organized by the Agency for Assessment and Development of Policies of the Foreign Ministry. The seminar presenting speaker, among other former Minister of Marine and Fisheries of 2001 to 2004 period, and Professor of Management of Coastal and Ocean Development, Bogor Agricultural University, Rohmin Dahuri. Embassy of France in Indonesia through French Institute Indonesia, IFI, sent 10 Indonesian tourism workers journalists to France from March 25th to April 2nd. To strengthen Indonesian-French tourism relations, the Indonesian travel agencies and the French embassy signed a memorandum of understanding in Jakarta over the weekend. French Ambassador Madame Corinne Brousey said the French government has made changes to the visa administration to boost tourist arrivals.
L'Indonésie est un pays sûr et il n'y a pas de consigne particulière de sécurité.
Indonesia is a safe country. There is no need to worry about security issues. The French nationals are only advised to pay attention on natural phenomena, such as volcanoes and others. France has never issued travel warning due to security issues.
Ambassador Corinne Brousey added, the activity is the realization of the Indonesia-France cooperation in tourism, which was signed in July 2011. It is expected that, after returning from France, the Indonesian businessmen and journalists are able to inform the French new tourist destinations in Indonesia. The program has been started in September 2014 with the setup of a working group composed of the French and Indonesian hospitality visa and travel agents. The French government has never warned its citizens not to travel to Indonesia, although the issue of terrorism and the Islamophobia has grown in the world today, and radicalism activities in Indonesia have re-emergence. After signing cooperation of tourism improvement over the weekend in Jakarta, French ambassador in Indonesia, Madame Corinne Brousey, said that the Indonesian government is safe enough to be visited by French people. They only have to beware of national problems.
Alors d'abord, nous avons fait beaucoup d'efforts en matière de délivrance de visa. Nous avons allégé les procédures.
We ease the visa process and offer other destinations besides Paris, namely Saint Michael and Provence. We invited recently Indonesian tourism businessmen and journalists to visit France to see winter tourist spots and play ski on the mountains.
D'agences de voyage et de journalistes en France pour découvrir le tourisme de la neige, le tourisme d'hiver au ski.
Ambassador Corinne Brousey said the number of French tourists to Indonesia was around 175,000 in 2014, and most of them visited Bali, while the French embassy in Jakarta has issued around 300,000 visa for Indonesian citizens last year. Participants of the upcoming Asia-Africa Conference, AAC 2015, should also discuss water privatization issue. Dadan Ramdan, chairman of the Indonesian Environmental Forum while his West Java chapter sat in Bandung on Sunday. He said Indonesia has made a significant change by rejecting water privatization and returning the rights of water to the public. The Indonesian government will hold the 60th commemoration of the AAC in Jakarta and Bandung from April 19th to 24th, 2015. While he will organize a carnival to celebrate Earth Day on April 22, 2015. He added during the carnival, while he will display some 200 replicas of giant jugs as a symbol of a fight against water privatization. Two important court rulings were issued in Indonesia earlier this year that established water accessibility as a basic right to the public, rather than giving water the status of a business commodity. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Jakarta Sanitation Agency is readying all its thousands of cleaners to keep the city presentable during the Asian African Conference next week. It was stated by Sapta Sri Edinintias Kusumadevi, the head of the agency, on Monday. The summit will be held on April 19th to 24th in the Indonesian capital and in the West Java city of Bandung, where the first such conference was famously held in 1955. dozens of heads of state are expected to attend. According to Edinintias, the main focus of the sanitation workers would be along the routes from Halim Perdana Kusuma and Soekarno-Hatta Airport to the summit venues and the hotels where participants would be staying. The agency had also urged Jakarta residents to be a good host by making sure to properly dispose of trash. She added, adding that authorities would keep their eyes peeled for violators. Bandung Education Agency is set to deploy 10,000 students from primary school to high school vocational school to welcome participants at the 60th commemoration of the Asian African Conference to be held in Bandung on April 24, 2015. The students will stand at the side of the streets from outside Hussein Sastra Negara Airport until the Pasteur Toll Road when participants depart from and arrive at Bandung. Each student will be asked to wave two small flags to liven up the atmosphere, and the costumes to be worn by the students are their daily uniforms or their sport uniforms. Head of Bandung Education Agency, Eli Sudia Permana, said that those students would stand at locations near their schools and every 50 students will be accompanied by a teacher. The students will be prepared at 7 a.m. The flags that will be waved by the students are Indonesian flags and flags of participating countries. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. State-owned enterprises minister Rini Sumarno ensures government stake unchanged after state-owned enterprises rights offering. Indonesian Foreign Ministry launches book Maritime Access Diplomacy. France improves visa process to increase foreign tourists. That was the news.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary, and today's commentary is on education for all. Recently, UNESCO released a report on the achievement of Education for All program. According to UNESCO, the program has not been fully realized. Of the 146 member countries, only 47% of participating states were capable of expanding education and early childhood care. UNESCO report also said that only 52% were able to achieve universal primary education for girls, ethnic minorities, and marginalized children. Meanwhile, less than 50% were able to improve the quality of education. Education for All is a joint movement commitment launched by the Education Care World Society to provide basic education for all school-age children from 7 to 15 years. They assess that early childhood education for children aged 0 to 6 years is very important. The Education for All movement started in the World Education Forum in Dakar in 2000. A total of 164 countries signed an agreement to the six Education for All movement goals to be achieved by 2015. In the forum, all governments, development agencies, civil society, and the private sectors agreed to work together to achieve them, among others, to improve all aspects of the quality of education and ensuring excellence so that recognized and measurable learning outcomes are achieved. Meanwhile, also in 2000, the United Nations with 193 member states and 23 international organizations agreed on the United Nations Millennium Declaration with 8 Millennium Development Goals, popularly known as MDGs, which will also be achieved by the year 2015. One of the most important goals is to achieve universal primary education. Responding to the UNESCO report on the achievements of the program Education for All, Indonesian Minister of Culture and Elementary and Secondary Education Anies Baswedan deems it necessary to establish a task force to review what needs to be repaired after carefully studying the UNESCO recommendation. The Ministry of Culture, Primary and Secondary Education will promote and develop vocational education and improve its management so that the education budget would be used effectively. Progress in achieving the movement goals and the MDGs will be determined by the commitment of all parties to work together to implement programs and activities that have been formulated together in a democratic, transparent, and accountable way. The Education for All and Millennium Development Goals document state that education for all can only be achieved through broad partnerships between governments, bilateral agencies, civil society groups, and the private sector. It is obvious that educational program for all can only be realized if all parties involved work together to achieve it. Education for All and Millennium Development Goals programs are interrelated. In fact, long before the Dakar and the UN declarations were agreed by the Education Care World Society, Indonesia, since the beginning of its independence, has had a strong commitment to education for all children of the nation. This was stated in the preamble of the 1945 Constitution to achieve the intellectual life of the nation. The solid foundation should be used to realize various world programs in the field of education. If all people are intelligent, development in various fields will be realized, and the achievements of the Education for All program and the Millennium Development Goals can be realized optimally. Well, that was commentary today on Education for All, brought to you by Voice of Indonesia. I'm Anna Trichayakasi.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, we meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on April 13, 1919, about the Jallianwala Bagh Massacre. The Jallianwala Bagh Massacre, also known as the Amritsar Massacre, was a seminal event in the British rule of India. On April 13, 1919, a crowd of non-violent protesters, along with Baishakhi pilgrims, had gathered in the Jallianwala Bagh Garden in Amritsar, Punjab, to protest against the arrest of two leaders, namely Dr. Satyapal and Dr. Saifuddin, despite a curfew which had been recently declared. On the orders of Brigadier General Reginald Dyer, the army fired on the crowd for 10 minutes, directing their bullets largely towards the few open gates through which people were trying to run out. The figures released by the British government were 370 dead and 1,200 wounded. Other sources placed the number dead at well over 1,000. This brutality stunned the entire nation, resulting in a wrenching loss of faith of the general public in the intentions of Britain. The ineffective inquiry and the initial accolades for Dyer by the House of Lords fueled widespread anger, leading to the non-cooperation movement of 1920 to 1922. And the next event was in 1975 when civil war broke out in Lebanon. Several violent actions such as assassination of Falangist Pierre Gamaliel guard and the attack incident on a bus which caused 27 Palestinians died in Lebanon became the start of a civil war in Lebanon. Many factions supported by religion community caused wider chaos in the country. Civil war in Lebanon was more dreadful after some neighboring countries participated in helping the fighters and factions in accordance with their alliance and ideology. The weak government of Lebanon also accelerated the civil war that lasted for 15 years. And the last event was in 2002 when massive demonstration happened in Caracas, Venezuela. After the coup by military leaders on April 12, 2002, Pedro Carmona was installed as president of Venezuela, replacing Hugo Chavez by military council. The appointment was considered illegal by Supreme Court. Then on April 13, 2002, massive demonstration occurred in Caracas, Venezuela. People and some middle-rank military officers were against the new president and the military council and reclaimed Hugo Chavez as president of Venezuela. Finally, on April 14, Hugo Chavez became the president of Venezuela again. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today's edition is on more than 25 heads of state and government to attend the 60th AAC anniversary. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. Various preparations have been made by the Indonesian government before the 60th anniversary of the Asian African Conference, which will take place from 19th to 24th of April 2015 in Jakarta and Bandung, West Java. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi told the media in Jakarta recently that almost all relevant government agencies that have responsibility for the commemoration of the 60th anniversary of the Asian-African Conference theme Strengthening South-South Cooperation have also finished preparation. The minister pointed to the discussion of various topics in the United Nations Secretariat in New York, USA, related to the Asia-Africa Conference. Up till now, about 80% been discussed and the rest will be completed in Jakarta. The result of the discussions will be included in three important documents, namely Bandung Message, Declaration on Reintegrating New Asian-African Strategic Partnership, as well as the Declaration on Palestine. Meanwhile, on Friday, April the 10th, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi had a coordination meeting with the National Committee of the 60 Years Asian-African Conference Commemoration, among others, in Jakarta. During the meeting, it was reiterated that the focus and attention of Indonesia is on the number of guests who will attend either the level of heads of state of government down to the level of ambassador. According to Minister Retno Marsudi, more than 25 heads of state and government have stated their readiness to be present in the high-level conference on the 60th anniversary of the Asian-African Conference.
Sampai sejauh ini sudah lebih dari 25 kepala negara kepala.
So far, more than 25 heads of state and government will be present at the summit. Others are vice president, foreign ministers, other ministers, special envoy, and so on. The summit program itself will last for 2 days, April the 22nd and April the 23rd. On April the 24th, there will be the commemoration of the 60-year anniversary of the Asian African Conference to be held in Bandung.
Komemorasi 60 tahun Konferensi Asia Afrika yang akan diselenggarakan di Bandung.
In addition, the minister also said that 18 heads of state and government will hold a bilateral meeting with Indonesian President Joko Widodo on the sidelines of the anniversary of the Asian African Conference in Jakarta. Among others, from the peoples of Republic of China, Japan, Myanmar, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Vietnam, Iran, Palestine, South Africa, Egypt, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, and the Republic of Seychelles. Of the 106 countries and the 19 international organizations invited to attend the 60th anniversary of the Asian-African Conference until Friday, April the 10th, nearly 60 countries have confirmed their presence. On a different occasion, international relations and policy experts Dewi Fortuna Anwar said that the number of heads of state and government who will be present in the 60th anniversary of the Asian African Conference shows that the conference that was held 60 years ago is still very relevant to the world now. She stated that the 1955 Asian African Conference brought the message of the attending countries that they were an important part of the international affairs. Yet the major challenges facing the peoples of Asia and Africa today is to build a formal forum between Asia and Africa. In line with Dewi Fortuna Anwar, Director General for Asia Pacific and Africa of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Yuri Tamrin, said that the major challenge today is the promotion of political, security, and economic cooperation in Asia and Africa. Yuri Tamrin pointed out, trade cooperation between Asia and Africa continues to increase. From 1990, the value of trade between the two regions is only $2.8 billion, but in 2012, that number increased to more than $270 billion. Well, that was Focus of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Listener, here are some headlines taken from several dailies published in Jakarta, Monday, April 13, 2015. We start from Compass Daily, which writes, gadgets become primary needs. Gadgets now become primary needs. Now almost all aspects of humans' life rely on the gadgets. Gadget production increases along with the increase in demand. Variations in the use of gadgets are constantly updated in line with the changing of lifestyles and needs of the users. However, the gadget users must be able to sort out the positives and negative side of the gadgets. Data from the Directorate General of Information and Public Communication, Ministry of Communications and Information Technology shows since 2013, the number of gadgets that consist of smartphones, handheld computers, and tablets has surpassed the population of Indonesia. The number of gadgets is 240 million units, while the Indonesian population is about 230 million. This year's growth is expected to be greater. Koran Tempo, meanwhile, writes, police could be accused of violating the authority. A member of team formed by President Joko Widodo to solve conflict between the Corruption Eradication Commission KBK with the police, Bambang Widodo Umar, denounced the Police Criminal Investigation Department's plans to criminalize the commission investigators who handled the case of Commissioner General Budi Gunawan. If it is true, he said, the move would worsen the image of the police. He said police authority must not be used. Friday last week, Chief of Police Criminal Investigation Department Commissioner General Budi Waseso said it will set a team of KPK, Corruption Eradication Commission investigators, on Budi Gunawan's case as a suspect if the result of his team investigation concluded that the case does not have a criminal element. Yesterday, Waseso reiterated it to Koran Tempo. He said his team has one piece of evidence, namely the pre-trial ruling that cancels Budi as a suspect of Corruption Eradication Commission or KPK. Media Indonesia meanwhile writes, optimizing alternative energy. Indonesia should have the political energy with sustainable and long-term oriented. Seeing the needs and economic growth in the future, the orientation of using fossil fuels for electricity generation must start to change. In the General Plan of Electricity Supply, or RUPTL, in 2015, the construction of electricity infrastructure for 2015-2019 is projected to meet the electricity needs of 42.7 gigawatts. In 2050, the national electricity demand is expected to reach 400 gigawatts. Currently, the majority of power plants in Indonesia is still dependent on fuel, oil, and coal. Viewing the dependency of fuel derived from the fossil, an energy analyst, Sofiano Zakaria, argues there must be a willingness to use non-fossil fuel for electricity generation in Indonesia. Despite the non-fossil fuel options such as water, wind, geothermal, solar, and nuclear, PT PLN, the electricity company, prefers to build coal steam power plants. Director of Construction of PLN, Nasri Sebayang, reasoned building coal power plant is cheaper compared with geothermal power plant and hydropower or hydroelectricity. Moreover, Indonesia's coal reserves are still very large. And listener, we end headlines for today with Business Indonesia newspaper, which writes automotive export is boosted. Indonesian Ministry of Industry efforts to boost exports of automotive sector is getting stronger with the release of the new rules to accelerate the motor vehicle shipments. The regulation is written in the regulation of the Minister of Industry No. 34, year 2015 on the four-wheeled and more automotive industry and motorcycle industry. The regulation is set forth in the regulation of the Minister of Industry Saleh Hussein on March 20, 2015 and enters into force 6 months after the enactment of the regulation on March 23, 2015. And listener, that was headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us at RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
Welcome to News in Brief. State-owned enterprises Minister Rini Sumarno pledges that the government will remain as the majority stakeholder in publicly listed state-owned enterprises even if the state-owned enterprises hold rights offerings. Rini rebutted Gerindra Chairman Prabowo Subianto's statement that the government is selling for state-owned enterprises who are planning to hold rights issues to individuals. Indonesia should emphasize its national identity as a maritime nation and make it the world's maritime axis. It was said by Secretary General of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Johannes Kristiarto Suryolegowo, while reading the speech of the Minister of Foreign Affairs in the seminar and launching the book entitled Maritime Axis Diplomacy, Marine Economy in Perspective of Foreign Policy in Jakarta on Monday. Embassy of France in Indonesia through French Institute of Indonesia sent 10 Indonesian tourism workers journalists to France from March 25th to April 2nd. To strengthen Indonesian-French tourism relations, the Indonesian travel agencies and the French embassy signed a memorandum of understanding in Jakarta over the weekend. The French government has never warned its citizens not to travel to Indonesia. Although the issue of terrorism and the Islamophobia has grown in the world today and radicalism activities in Indonesia have re-emergence, participants of the upcoming Asia-Africa Conference 2015 should also discuss water privatization issue. Dadan Ramdan, chairman of the Indonesian Environmental Forum, West Java chapter, said in Bandung on Sunday, the Jakarta Sanitation Agency is readying all its thousands of cleaners to keep the city presentable during the Asian African Conference next week. Bandung Education Agency is set to deploy 10,000 students from primary school to high school, vocational school to welcome participants at the 60th commemoration of the Asian African Conference to be held in Bandung on 24 of April 2015. That was News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. I'm Steve. In this edition, I will invite you to visit West Sumatra to visit the Mandeh Tourism Park. So, stay tuned. Listener, Mandeh Tourism Park in West Sumatra will be launched to become the Mandeh National Sea Park. This launching will be held in the end of April 2015 and attended by Indonesian President Joko Widodo. This event will be enlivened by many cultural festivals, international paragliding performances, diving festivals, photography competitions in the sea, and many others, art and cultural events. Mandeh Tourism Object becomes Mandeh Sea Park because this area has a very promising potential, especially in the tourism sector. Even Mandeh area has become the main destination of the marine tourism sector in the National Tourism Development Master Plan, together with Biak and Bunaken. Mandeh is a tourism object which is located at Koto 11, Tarusan Subdistrict, which directly borders with Padang, the capital city of West Sumatra. This area is around 56 km from Padang, the capital city of West Sumatra Province. To go to this area, it will take around 70 minutes by using land transportation from Padang. It is called Mandeh because one of the villages in this area has a name Mandeh Village. Mandeh Tourism Area is a combination among natural hills with beautiful bay, which is decorated by clusters of small islands located in the middle of Carocok Tarusan Bay. This bay is quite flat and has no wave because the surrounding area there are some small islands, among others Traju, Setan Kecil, Big and Small Sironjong Island, and Cubadak Island. Mandeh has beautiful coral reef. At Mandeh area, there are 70 hectares of coral reefs which are still maintained. And not only that, under the sea of Mandeh Bay, in the depth of 20 until 25 meters, there is also intact shipwreck assumed to belong to the MV Pulungan Cargo of the Netherlands, which was bought by Japan in 1942. This spot, according to the Indonesian Minister of Maritime, is the best shipwreck to dive in Indonesia and even in the world. At this area, there is also 389 hectare wide of mangrove forest, as well as various marine biota. Listener, with the beauty on its land and undersea, it is no wonder that this area has a nickname, the Paradise, in the southern of Sumatra. Because of that, if you come to Mandeh, please enjoy the beauty of land and undersea of this area. You can do various water activities such as swimming, going around the island with canoe or speedboat, and even diving. And Mandeh will become more beautiful if you witness it from the hills. You can climb to the peak of Mandeh, which is one of the most favorite spots. From the peak of Mandeh, you can see clusters of small islands and also the activity of fishermen. Besides that, you can also do the paragliding in here. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Membeli Sepatu, or in English means buying shoes. Stay tuned. Listener, as usual, I will introduce you to vocabulary and expression that related to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Membeli, membeli, which means to buy. Sepatu, sepatu, which means shoes. Ukuran, ukuran, which means size. Empat puluh, empat puluh, which means 40. Hitam, hitam, which means black. Coklat. Coklat, which means brown. Menunggu. Menunggu, which means waiting. Mencari. Mencari, which means looking for. Berapa harganya? Berapa harganya, which means how much? 900 ribu. 900 ribu, which means 900,000. Mahal. Mahal, which means expensive. Potongan harga. Potongan harga, which means discount. Kulit. Kulit, which means leather. Impor. Impor, which means import. Murah. Murah, which means cheap. Asli. Asli, which means original. 200 ribu. 200 ribu, which means 200,000. Warna. Warna, which means color. Krim. Krim, which means broken white. Bagus. Bagus, which means good. Kuat. Kuat, which means strong. Membayar. Membayar, which means to pay. Di sana. Di sana, which means there. Listener, now we give you an example of conversation entitled Membeli Sepatu, or in English means buying shoes. The conversation is between A. Tono and B. shopkeeper. A. Tono, apakah ada sepatu yang ukuran 40? Apakah ada sepatu yang ukuran 40? Which means, I'm looking for a shoe size 40. B. Shopkeeper, yang hitam atau yang coklat? Yang hitam atau yang coklat? Which means, what color, black or brown? A. Tono, saya mau yang hitam. Saya mau yang hitam, which means, I want the black one. B. Shopkeeper, baiklah, silakan tunggu dulu. Baiklah, silakan tunggu dulu. Which means, okay, wait a moment. Saya akan mencarinya. Saya akan mencarinya. Which means, I will take it. Tidak lama kemudian. Tidak lama kemudian. In English, shortly after. A. Tono, yang hitam ini berapa harganya? Yang hitam ini berapa harganya? Which means, how much the black one is? Sepatu ini harganya 900 ribu rupiah. Sepatu ini harganya 900 ribu rupiah. Which means, it is 900,000 rupiah. A. Tono, wow, mahal sekali. Wow, mahal sekali. Which means, oh, it is too expensive. Apakah tidak ada potongan harga? Apakah tidak ada potongan harga? Which means, is there not any discount? B. Shopkeeper, sepatu ini kulitnya bagus sekali. Sepatu ini kulitnya bagus sekali. Which means, the shoes made of good leather. Ini sepatu impor. Ini sepatu impor. Which means, it is an import shoes. Ada sepatu yang lebih murah. Ada sepatu yang lebih murah. Which means, here we have cheaper shoes. Tetapi kulitnya tidak terlalu bagus. Tetapi kulitnya tidak terlalu bagus. Which means, but it is not good quality leather. Bukan kulit asli. Bukan kulit asli, which means not original leather. Harganya hanya 200 ribu rupiah. Harganya hanya 200 ribu rupiah, which means the price only 200,000 rupiah. ada 3 warna, hitam, coklat, dan krem. Ada 3 warna, hitam, coklat, dan krem, which means there are 3 colors, black, brown, and broken white. A. Tono. Walaupun sepatu ini lebih murah, tetapi kelihatan bagus dan kuat. Walaupun sepatu ini lebih murah, tetapi kelihatan bagus dan kuat. Which means, although the shoes is cheaper, it looks good and strong. Saya ambil warna coklat. Saya ambil warna coklat. Which means, I take the brown one. B. Shopkeeper. Baiklah. Baiklah. Which means, alright. Silakan Anda membayar di sana. Silakan Anda membayar di sana. Which means, you could pay it over there. Terima kasih. Terima kasih. Which means, thank you. Well, listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thanks for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Donald Pane, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. And in today's edition, I will present you Indonesian Betawi Keroncong songs, sung by Sumiati, a female singer who was popular in the era of 50s. Well, listener, now let's listen to the song entitled Keroncong Kemayoran by Sumiati. Let's enjoy the song. This song tells about Kroncong rhythm that can entertain people who hear it. In addition, this song also reveals the tendency of the heart to have good personality. The lyric was written like a poem, which is one of the culture of the Indonesian society, including Betawi. Although until now it is not certain who the composer of this song, but it does not reduce the popularity of the Kroncong Kemayoran song. The song is still sung and known from time to time. Well, listener, now let's listen to the next song entitled Kicir Kicir by Sumiati. Here is the song. Kicir Kicir is a Betawi song which is still very popular and often sung at celebrations both in Jakarta and national events. This song appears on the archipelago traditional rhymes, especially the influence of Malay rhymes. Kicir Kicir has been recorded into various versions or more modern arrangements. This song makes someone who listens to it to be happy and forget the anxiety for a moment. Just like a poem, Kicir Kicir lyrics also has a positive value. As the last part of this song, Siapa saja ya tuan rajin bekerja, pasti menjadi warga berguna, or who works diligently, he will be useful citizen. Well, listener, to conclude our musical program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Sunda Kelapa and Lain Dulu, Lain Sekarang. Happy listening.
Nusantara
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.